Next man up, 102.5, the game final hour on this Thursday. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I am once again live at Titans training camp. Third day in pads underway here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Parker is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll talk plenty of Titans here in this final hour. I did want to bounce around to some NFL headlines. Yesterday, usually, like, the NFL transaction wire around now is pretty pointless, where you're looking through and it's like, all right, this undrafted free agent worked out here, this team cut this guy. But there was a name on there yesterday that popped up. Aaron Donald working out for the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay made a little joke about it. Yeah, we'll see if the kid can stick around at this level. It's been rumored for the last few months since Myles Garrett was traded back on June 1st. And it seems like it's getting closer and closer to fruition that Aaron Donald is going to be back on that Rams defensive line looking for another Super Bowl championship this season.
I saw that news yesterday. I do think this is going to happen. I'm curious to know the timing of the situation, if it's going to be a move made during the season or if they're going to wait towards the end of training camp, because Aaron Donald, if we're being honest, does not need to go through another training camp. He's been through plenty of them, and even though he's been out of the game for a couple of years, he still, you know, works out regularly. He'll be fine. Or is this move going to be, you know, post the month of October, or, you know, midway through the year? I just want to know the timing of all of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would assume that he's probably going to join the team for week one, but I do think he's going to be a limited piece for them. He's not going to be out there as much as he was back in his prime. He's what, like 34, 35 now? He's been out of the league for a few years. He cannot be what he was before. He just turned 35 years old. But I heard Charles Robinson say this with Robbie and Joe this morning. 90% of Aaron Donald is better than 100% of a lot of people. So I do think that he is going to be an impactful player. I don't think that he's going to be some kind of game changer. The Rams can win the Super Bowl without Aaron Donald with the talent they already have on that roster. But I do think that it can't hurt to add a guy like Aaron Donald to your team. Obviously, even being out of the football, out of the NFL for a couple of years.
The great thing about this is they don't need what Aaron Donald was in his prime, because that defensive line and the depth that they have is going to be just fine with or without Aaron Donald. And to be honest, it looks like LA is the runaway Super Bowl favorite as it stands in the preseason. They could win a Super Bowl this year without Aaron Donald, but if you add him and you know you have him, you know, rotate in and out, the Robert Saleh strategy, play about 60% of the snaps, that's better than nothing, right? So
right.
LA is going to be fine with or without Aaron Donald, but if you add him, that just bolsters expectations out there in California.
Right. I mean, that team is good enough with the MVP playing quarterback and a loaded wide receiver room and Myles Garrett now added. And then they add two really high-level cornerbacks, both from the Chiefs, and Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson. So that team is already loaded. He had the Hall of Fame defensive tackle. Even at his age, I think it's only going to help that team. Other news yesterday, there's been a receiver who's got some off-the-field issues, who's been out there for a while, and the Commanders finally gave in and signed him. No, it's not Brandon Ayuk. It's Stephon Diggs, who is going to go play with the Commanders. The Brandon Ayuk saga, I think, might be coming to an end. Like the Niners, I think, eventually just have to cut ties and say, see ya. Like, you don't need to be here anymore. We'll see if another team wants to take a chance on you, but it's not going to happen here. But I think this all almost certainly shuts the door of Ayuk getting his wish and getting to go play with his former quarterback at Arizona State with the Washington Commanders.
Correct. And, you know, Terry McLaurin is what he is. He's a very reliable receiver, but I'd say he's on the maybe the downside of his prime. I still think he has some good years left, but Stephon Diggs is a guy that can still really play. He may not be Stephon Diggs, you know, the Buffalo Bills or even the Minnesota Vikings, but he can still play, and they needed, Washington needed more help with their receiving core, And adding Stephon Diggs on a, what was it, a one-year, $12 million deal?
Yes,
Low-risk, high-reward type deal. It gives Jaden Daniels some extra help. So did you call this?
I might have.
Because I remember you talking about Stephon Diggs maybe going back home to Washington.
Yeah, oh, yes, you're right. We did talk about this.
And then TD was mentioning, well, what about Baltimore?
Yeah. I think we did talk about those two as a very possible outcome for him. Again, played at Maryland, grew up in Maryland, so being back in his home state, yes, the Commanders play in Landover, at least for now, that makes a whole lot of sense for him. And you're right, like the Commanders' depth chart at wide receiver, it was Terry McLaurin and kind of just a bunch of guys, including some guys we're familiar with around here, Treylon Burks and Van Jefferson. I do think that they needed to add to that room, and Stephon Diggs is a good fit for Jaden Daniels, who, when you look at his, they have Antonio Williams, who, was he drafted this year or last year? This year, third round pick out of Clemson.
Yep.
So they've got him, they've got Burks, they've got Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown still there. But the weapons, yeah, you add Rashad White, you add Chigakonkwo. It's not like they've surrounded Jaden Daniels with just a star-studded group. So adding a guy like Stephon Diggs, who even, as we said about Aaron Donald, not Stephon Diggs of the past, but somebody who can be a contributor for this team and be a veteran presence in that room, I think is important for Washington.
So you go from having Terry McLaurin, who we just talked about being on the down end of his prime, De'Ami Brown, and Antonio Williams, who's going to be a rookie this year, to now having Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, and Antonio Williams, who's a really good receiver at Clemson. I think that receiving core right there, that starting three, suddenly looks a lot more formidable than it once did. May not be the best in the NFL, but at least it's another weapon for Jaden Daniels, who was hurt for basically all of last year. And if he's able to stay healthy, he has some people to dish the ball to.
I think this fills the Deebo Samuel void, who goes back to San Francisco. And
exactly.
This offensive line, I think, is more important than the weapons for Jaden Daniels. Like, it's not like Jaden Daniels' weapons the year they went to the NFC Championship was just this star-studded group of Hall of Fame wide receivers and tight ends. It was pretty similar to what you see now. The offensive line keeping Jaden Daniels healthy is going to be the most important part of this season for Washington, because last year, we talked about it with quarterback, like the Jaden Daniels story arc during quarterback was every third week, and here it comes, Jaden Daniels back on the football field for the Washington Commanders. A couple of highlights. Oh, and after the play, Jaden Daniels a little slow to get up, and he missed 4 weeks. So keeping Jaden Daniels healthy, that is priority number one for Washington. And if the offensive line is better, I think it doesn't really matter. It matters, but you can deal with lower-end weapons for Jaden Daniels if you can get the offensive line right.
And, yeah, Laremy Tunsil is still a really good option at left tackle. So protecting the blind side of Jaden Daniels is going to be paramount. I do believe Jaden Daniels needs to, you know, him and Jackson Dart can take a same page out of the notebook in protecting their bodies. Jaden Daniels is still really, really slender and needs to put on some weight. You got to protect a guy like that, just and you got to protect yourself most importantly, because you can't afford to keep getting hurt. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the C.J. Stroud conversation, a little different twist to it, but they both had some of the best rookie years at quarterback that we've seen in recent memory. Yeah, ever.
Yep.
But since that point, it hasn't been the same. For C.J., it's just been the turnovers, but for Jaden Daniels, it's been plagued by injury. You got to protect yourself.
Yep, it's a big year for Jaden Daniels. I am interested to see what Chigakonkwo does there, because Chig always felt like a player who didn't live up to his potential here. He had a good rookie season, and then I always look back, and maybe this is just me, I look back, he had back-to-back drops in a preseason game against the Vikings heading into year two. And I don't know why, I felt like he was never the same after that. There was a lot of excitement heading into the season, and then he just started to run into those inconsistency issues where he was dropping the football. He's a good player, and he led the team in receiving last year, so it's not like he's going to go there and do nothing. But I am interested to see, in a new situation with a new coaching staff, a new system, and a new quarterback, what can Chigakonkwo do next year?
You know who their offensive coordinator is, right, in Washington?
Who did they get to replace Kingsbury?
David Blough.
Oh, right. You're right. It is David Blough. We talked about Hard Knocks the other day. Hard Knocks legend David Blough.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a great season of Hard Knocks. Probably my favorite in at least the last 5 to 10 years. I have no idea what the offense will look like, but I know that if David Blough is smart, which I believe that he is, you see how Chigakonkwo was used and should have been used here more so in just getting him the football and letting him go because he's an athlete and not relying on him so much to be a pass blocker. I think that would work out pretty well.
I agree. I think that Chig, when he's used the right way, we've seen what Chigakonkwo can do. I think a change of scenery and a fresh start, I think it will be good for him this year, and we'll see how he's able to perform. He is the number one tight end in that room in Washington. I mean, they've got some other guys that you like. John Bates played a little bit for them last year. What did he end up with stats-wise? 103 yards last year, but he's not a tight end one. That's going to be Chig's spot, and we'll see how he ends up taking advantage of it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans practice underway here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Day 3 in pads. We'll give you updates once practice wraps up. Coming up next, Parker, yesterday with Corey, I asked you guys in or out of the playoffs for college football teams. Let's do it for the NFL coming up next. I've come up with 5 teams that I think it could go either way. These aren't your juggernauts. These aren't your teams in the cellar of the NFL. I want to know what your thoughts are in or out of the playoffs. We'll do it next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I am live at Titans training camp, day 3 in pads. 3rd of 4 padded practices this week. Tomorrow is the scrimmage over at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night, so that should be fun. Parker, you're going to be out there covering it, correct?
I will be present. Very excited.
Love it. Love it. I might go out and just sit in the stands. Like, I don't have much going on. My wife's out of town this weekend. Maybe I will go over there and watch. Our coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Tennessee Brewworks, Parman Energy, the Music City Kickoff Game, Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and Tri-State Water Power and Air. We're talking NFL storylines, big picture here. We went through some of the news from yesterday. Aaron Donald working out for the LA Rams as he ponders a comeback. Stephon Diggs signs with the Washington Commanders. Yesterday, Parker, you, me, and Corey, we went through 5 college football teams in the SEC and the Big Ten and asked, are they a playoff team or are they not this year? I thought, why not do it for the NFL too? So I've got 5 teams for you. I want to know if you think they are a playoff team or not. Let's start with a little bit of I think this one is very tough because talent-wise, I think the answer is yes, but you just haven't seen it the last few years. The Cincinnati Bengals, are they a playoff team in 2026?
Starting out hot, are we, Jake? All right, here's what I'll say about the Bengals. I tend to take Joe Burrow at his word because he's not a guy that I want to doubt on a regular basis, and he says this is the best roster he's had since being drafted, the best roster he's had since 2019 LSU. I tend to believe him. The offense has not been the problem in Cincinnati. It's always been the defense. But some of the pieces they have brought in on defense, including bringing in Dexter Lawrence, who top 10 defensive tackle in the league, I think they did upgrade at the spots that they needed to. Defense still may not be the best or great, but it'll be good enough to get them in the playoffs, and we all know once they get in the playoffs, they can be dangerous.
Yeah, and I really like Joe Burrow. I do. I know some people want to take him out of that top tier of quarterbacks, but I really do think when he's healthy, that there isn't a better distributor of the football in the league. Maybe Patrick Mahomes. He's won 3 Super Bowls. I've got to give him his flowers. But Burrow, I think, is up there when he's healthy and he's rolling. He's really tough to stop, and you're right. The defense has been the problem there. They get Dexter Lawrence. I saw somebody reported that Sexy Dexie is blowing up Bengals camp. Like, he's had a huge start to training camp, so that could be a big development for Cincinnati. I'm going to say yes. I think the Bengals are a playoff team this year. I don't know if they win that division, but I think they're good enough to get in after a couple of down years.
Well, it's certainly going to be between them and Baltimore. I'm just not confident that Pittsburgh is suddenly going to be more explosive with a 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I'm not buying that. I think they can be better than last year with Mike McCarthy, given that he's more of an innovator on the offensive side of the ball. But it's going to come down to Baltimore and Cincinnati as long as Joe Burrow is healthy. But on the defensive side for Cincinnati, too, don't overlook the Boye Mafe signing, too. That's a really big deal for them.
Yeah, and they got a nice break earlier in training camp where it looked like Shamar Stewart, their first-round pick from 2 years ago, I believe he had to be carted off, and it ended up not being super serious. So we'll see how that team looks defensively. But the offense, you know, with the weapons they have, and if Burrow stays healthy, they're going to be one of the best units in the league. So I'm going yes for the Bengals. Next team, the Dallas Cowboys. And you know my answer for this one. I've got them winning the NFC East. I've already predicted that. One of my bold predictions for the season. Do you think the Dallas Cowboys are a playoff team this year?
I do. I love Dak Prescott. I love the offense that Schottenheimer runs in Dallas. It's kind of the same thing that we were talking about with the previous team, Cincinnati. It wasn't their offense that let them down last year. When you have the combination of CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens on the outside, you're going to be just fine. And you have Dak Prescott, who is firmly in tier two of quarterbacks in the NFL, I believe. I believe the defense, it's hard to be much worse than it was last year. I think that they will be improved. And even if that defense is slightly improved, Dallas was on the outside looking in last year. They were in the hunt. I think they do step up this year and get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I just think that offense is too talented with Prescott and Lamb and Pickens and Ferguson, and they've got the offensive line, and they've added to the defense. Like, I know Rashawn Gary maybe isn't the same player that he was 2 years ago with the Packers, but they bring him in on the edge. They've got Quinnen Williams. They've got Kenny Clark. They add in the secondary. They still have Deron Bland. You draft Caleb Downs. I think this is a good team, and I think they're going to win the NFC East. I like the Eagles, too, and I think the Eagles are probably a playoff team, but I'm going to say the Cowboys win that division. All right, number three. This one's tough, and there's a lot of strife going on in this building throughout training camp so far. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they collapsed down the stretch last year, ended up missing out on the playoffs because the Falcons beat the Saints in week 18. Do you think the Bucs bounce back and get into the postseason?
Here's my problem, Jake. I looked at the grid and I saw the teams that you had listed.
Yeah.
And I'm you know, inclined to believe that each of them have a legit chance of making the playoffs.
Right.
That NFC South, you know how up and down. I mean, the team that made it from that division last year was 8-9 in the Panthers.
Yep.
I don't know if the Panthers are going to be able to replicate what they did last year, but the reason that I'm going with the Bucs winning that division is when Baker Mayfield is doubted, we know what he turns into. And he played like an MVP candidate for half of the season last year. And if he has that chip on his shoulder the whole year, I do think the Bucs are going to win the division.
That's what makes this interesting is, do I think the Bucs are one of the better teams in the NFC? I'd probably lean no, especially if they end up trading Vita Vea. But that division is just weak. Like, do I believe in the Panthers to make it again? No. Do I believe in the Falcons, given the quarterback situation they're running out there? Probably not, although the weapons are really good. And then the Saints, I think, are the wild card in all of this. Like, if Tyler Shuck plays really well and takes a step and looks like he could be a franchise quarterback for the Saints, sure, that team could challenge in that division. But I think in terms of what you know about these teams and not what you think might happen, I think the Bucs are the team that you can trust the most. So I will say yes to, but I'll say yes, and they win the division at like 9-8.
Yeah, and the Saints too. How good are the Saints going to be this year? You know, that's something. I thought Kellen Moore was able to get the absolute most out of that roster last year, and it did get better, you know, a little bit. They added Jordan Tyson for another weapon for Tyler Shuck. It could be a three-way race between, you know, the Panthers, Saints, and Bucks. If the Falcons get good play at quarterback, I mean, that's probably the most competitive division in football. Would you agree?
Yeah, competitive, given I think all the teams are kind of close together.
Yeah, like all four have a chance to win that division.
Right. I would agree with that. And I might say on paper, the Panthers might be the worst team there. I'd have to look through the whole roster, but that they won it last year. So who are we to doubt that they could do it again? Kind of flip side of the coin here with the Bucks, who are in a weak division. There's a lot of questions. The 49ers, they do have a lot of questions around this team heading into the year with injuries, and you're starting the season in Australia. We talked with Connor earlier about the schedule differences between the Rams and 49ers, but they're playing in a really, really, really tough division. The Rams are the Super Bowl favorites. The Seahawks are the reigning Super Bowl champions. The Cardinals are in there too, but it may be easier said than done for a team as talented as the 49ers to make the playoffs, given the other teams they have to play twice a year.
So I'm going to have to play a little playoff math here. We did this with the college football playoff yesterday with Corey. So my hot take this year is I think three teams from the NFC North get in. So we know that there are eight teams from each conference. So three teams from the NFC North, a winner from the NFC South. I'm going to go two teams from the West, and then you have to have a team from from the East.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no for the 49ers, and the only reason I say no is I can't count on them to be healthy at this point in time. They're missing 19 players on their roster right now for today's training camp practice. If I can't count on you to be healthy, I can't count on you to make the playoffs. So that's the only reason I'm saying no with the 49ers.
Right, and I think that is the conversation that has to be had, is you're not necessarily comparing them to the Rams or the Seahawks, because I think the Rams are going to win that division. Right? You look at the talent that they have. The Rams are the best team in the NFL, and I think they win that division. But I think the Niners are a talented team. You compare them to the Lions, the Packers, the Bears, the Seahawks, the Eagles and Cowboys. I do wonder if they end up on the bottom of the totem pole there, and they end up being left out. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say no on the 49ers this year. I just think the NFC has a lot of really good teams, and having to play the Rams and Seahawks twice just won't play in their favor. Last one here. Missed the playoffs last year, but a three-time Super Bowl champion over the past decade. The Kansas City Chiefs, do they get back to the playoffs?
This will be my shortest answer. 15's out there, they do.
He was out there a lot of the year last year.
But when he's hurt, we see what happens to that team. I mean, they can completely crumble. Mahomes is so elite that he masquerades all of the offensive line issues. If he's healthy and out there the whole year, the Chiefs are not missing the playoffs.
I'm going to say yes. Right now, and I agree with you, the Mahomes part of it does creep into my mind of I don't want to be the one saying Patrick Mahomes isn't going to make the playoffs. But I think, I mean, it's definitely possible. That team is not super talented. They still do have a tough schedule, even though they're playing a weaker schedule given where they finished last year. And that division's good. The Broncos were a play or two away from the Super Bowl. If Bo Nix was healthy, maybe they end up there. And the Chargers, if they can stay healthy, are probably, not probably, definitely are a more talented team than the Chiefs top to bottom. So I'm going to lean yes, but I also am a little bit worried about that team just being Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of guys.
I mean, we went through the roster with Corey. It's not a good roster.
Yep.
But I really think Mahomes is so generationally great and such a rare talent that, you know, football is an 11-on-11 game, but when Mahomes is out there, it almost turns to 1-on-11, and he's that good where, like I said, he masquerades all of their issues on offense when he's playing 100%. And even if he's not 100%, even if he's 95, 90%, that's still better than most of the quarterback play that you get in the NFL.
Yeah, and this wouldn't be the first time, right, that we've seen a Chiefs team that on paper is not as good as maybe the Ravens or the Bills or whoever they're playing in the AFC playoffs still find a way to win because they've got 15 behind center. So I'm going to agree with you. I think they're in, but I do think that is a flawed team that is being propped up by a generational quarterback.
So do we say four out of the five teams that we listed make the playoffs?
Yes, I think the only one I said no on was the 49ers.
Yeah, same.
Which, again, it's not impossible. Like, I listed off five teams, and we said two in each conference are going to get in. So I think the playoff math doesn't necessarily get in our way as much as it did with the college football version of this.
Correct, because there's not a – with the playoff in college football, you get 12 teams, but it's really 11 because you have to have the group of five in there. So with NFL, at least you get 14.
Yeah, and in the college football playoff, I think there are some teams that it's like non-negotiable. You know they're going to be in there, or at least you're setting them to the side because it's like, all right, that team's good enough. They're going to be in the playoffs. So there's a lot less spots just that are up for grabs than there are in the NFL. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans practice underway here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Again, updates coming later on once practice wraps up. We've got a couple more segments left with you on this Thursday. We'll get back to the Titans after this. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I am live at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Titans training camp continues today. Third day in pads, and 1 week from today, we will be getting ready for the first preseason game out in San Francisco. 5 days away from joint practices. Titans getting work across the way. Again, can't give you updates today while practice is going on, not open to the public. We'll give you updates once practice wraps up. But overall, Parker, we're a week into training camp. The wheels are rolling. We're getting going here, getting closer to actual football being played. What have been some of your biggest areas of encouragement for the Titans so far that you've seen when you've been out here at practice?
I've been really encouraged by the leadership that I've seen from Robert Saleh and how he handled the fight situation on Tuesday. Yeah. I immediately in my mind compared it to the several opportunities that Brian Callahan had to make a statement and to really set the tone to not just kick Jeffrey Simmons out of practice, but whoever was fighting, to kick them off to a side field to allow them to still get their work in. But if you throw punches in practice, I mean, in a game you do that and you're gone. So I've really been encouraged by the leadership from Robert Saleh, because in an organization, everything flows from the top down. So if you have good, strong leadership at the top, usually that flows down to your roster as well. That doesn't guarantee wins, but it's very refreshing from, you know, the lack of leadership we've seen during the Brian Callahan era.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's been one of the big things that stood out to me is we talked all offseason about the coaching staff and the experience and the organization that you expect to see from this group with Saleh, Dable, Bradley, Fossil. And I think that's really shown up. The practices seem very intentional on what they're getting work in for the offense, for the defense. And you're right. The opportunity came up on Tuesday for Robert Saleh to put his foot down and draw the line and say, no, this isn't going to happen. You're missing out on work every time that there's pushing and shoving after the whistle. And he shut it down. He made a statement, and I think that was really important to see early on. And I really like the way that this whole schedule is really structured, especially with the way the joint practices are structured. I've said it before. When you do those 2 days in a row, and Tony Pollard said this with us when he was up here last week, when you do those 2 days in a row, the second day really just devolves into chaos a lot of the time. You get guys throwing punches, you get these big scrums, and you don't really get the work in that you need to. I like the way Robert Saleh has set up this training camp to make sure they're maximizing every minute that they're out here and not losing time because of, you know, scrums or pushing and shoving, whether that's here at the Titans practice facility or whenever they get the joint practices coming up over the next few weeks.
I really liked what Corey Curtis was saying yesterday. To see 98 involved in a training camp fight is the least surprising thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I always think the second day of full pads is much worse than the first day, because the first day it's all so new, but the second day it all sets in and they're still trying to get used to wearing full pads just because they haven't done that at all this offseason. And plus, Tuesday was one of the more hot, muggier days that we've been out there, and you got a bunch of grown men flying around, testosterone's going everywhere. There are going to be some pushing and shoving. There are going to be some fights. Now, for Jeffrey Simmons, it's okay to get in a little bit of a scuffle, but when you start throwing punches and you risk the injury of breaking your hand, you got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, it's football. Like, there's going to be pushing and shoving, and guys aren't always going to get along after the play every single time. But I think it does show you a lot about your coaching staff with the way that they handle it. And I think it also it makes a statement that nobody's above the team. And, like, Jeffrey Simmons, it's like you said, it's no surprise to see him in the middle of those things. But you want to see your coaching staff treat the best defensive tackle in the league the same way he would treat anybody else. And he said the standard is if you throw a punch in a game, you get ejected. That's the same way it's going to work in practice. So I would say, yes, that's probably one of the biggest things that's encouraged me so far. The way Robert Saleh has started his Titans tenure here in training camp, I think, leaves a lot of reason to believe that he could be the right guy here to lead this franchise for a long time.
That's an excellent point by you, because everybody knows that there are a couple guys on this roster, but Jeffrey Simmons specifically is on a level above everybody else. I mean, he's one of the elite players in the entire National Football League, but when it comes to fighting at practice, no one is bigger than the Titans. With this whole rebrand, them trying to establish a new culture, setting the tone from day one is most important, because if you wait and you wait and wait a couple years to set this tone, well, players have already been lax those first couple of years. So what makes you think that they're going to adjust to you trying to reset the culture? With all this new, they're trying to start over. And I got to give Saleh his props for, we're not doing this. And he laid his foot down, and he handled it very diplomatically in the presser afterwards. And I was just, I gained a lot of respect for Robert Saleh that day.
Yeah, they've talked a ton about culture, and I think that's one of those moments that helps you set the culture for this team. So I think that's been really good to see so far from Robert Saleh. It's early. Does that necessarily help you win games on Sundays? Maybe not immediately, but I think it does get this franchise back to where they need to be, trying to build that winning culture, and we'll see if that carries over to the regular season. I will say, I said it earlier with Connor, the O-line play hasn't been horrible. Like, again, I think you expect the defensive line to win a lot of those battles, but it's been encouraging to me that it hasn't been an outright disaster so far, which I think is what we kind of expected. With the talent you have in that interior of the defensive line and the questions that you have in the interior of the offensive line, it's held up better than I expected to so far.
It has. You know, we've been dogging it really all offseason, but it hasn't looked horrible. We've still talked about it, but at least it hasn't looked horrible, and Cam Ward's not getting completely destroyed out there. He's still facing a lot of pressure, which is something that he has to get used to, and the line has to protect better, but it hasn't been as egregious as we thought that it might be. Still not great.
Right.
Not good by any means, but it's not been egregious.
Yeah, again, it hasn't been, you know, a wet paper towel that they've been rolling through play in and play out, which is encouraging. We're going to have to see how that holds up when you get to joint practices and the preseason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got one more segment left with you on this Thursday. We'll wrap up the show after this. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, wrapping up the show on this Thursday. Again, I am live at Titans training camp, Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Third practice in pads this week. We'll give you some updates after practice ends. It might have to come from Chase and Big Joe. They're coming up right after us. Again, if you missed TD today, usually we have TD Thursdays. Don't worry. He's in tomorrow. We're doing a Freaky Friday with Teron Davenport tomorrow. He'll be in studio for all 3 hours. So excited for that. Parker and I have been hanging out, talking NFL, talking Titans. And again, Parker, it is a glorious day because football is back in whatever form it may come in, even in the form of Kenny Pickett versus Carson Beck. We are excited for it. Tonight, the Hall of Fame game kicks off the NFL preseason. We could not be happier.
And my juices are flowing because we get to watch a scrimmage tomorrow in the stadium. Like, that is going
right.
That's going to be about as close to a game feel as we can get in early August. So I'm pumped. We got people taking offensive coordinator jobs at Mac schools. It's just been a crazy day.
Right. I mean, what a week. And you look at these weekends coming up, you at least can start to piece it together to get to real football. This week, you've got the Hall of Fame game tonight, Titans practice in the stadium tomorrow. Then next week, first Titans preseason game. You got a couple of weeks of that. Then the week after, Labor Day weekend. Week zero is the final week of the preseason, I should say that. Then Labor Day weekend, you get your full slate of college football, and then it's full swing for the next 4 months. Like, this is... Again, still a while away. We're a month away from real football being played. College football week one. But we are getting closer. And once it starts, we got a long time. And take advantage of all the football that you can get.
That's why I missed football after I started missing football, really, after the national championship was over in college basketball. But at the same time, you don't want to wish away summer. Because you know that once summer's over, I mean, you're not coming up for a breath until the Super Bowl's over.
Right. No, that's true. We've had this conversation plenty of times. It's like, it's easy to be during the summer and like, man, I just can't wait for football season. Like, let's get going. But as fun as football season is, and for me, when you get into basketball season too, it gets a little bit exhausting too. So, not wishing away the summer, but also really looking forward to football being back. It's been really fun to be out here watching practice, but there is a big difference between practice and seeing the actual jerseys on. And tonight, again, probably not going to be all that entertaining of a game, but you're going to see real football being played, and that is all we've been asking for a long time.
It has, and we're gonna be dialed in every second tonight. At 7 o'clock on NBC, it's gonna be great, man. It's gonna be exciting.
Cannot wait. I found the headline that I was looking for about Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence, quote unquote, terrorizing practice at Bengals training camp. So maybe some worries about the Bengals defense can be quelled by the addition of Sexy Dexy in the middle.
And maybe some worries about their offensive line?
Yeah, maybe that's true, which if you talk about the issues that you've seen with the Bengals over the past few years, defense probably issue number one. Number two would be that offensive line. So maybe Dexter Lawrence, again, quote-unquote, terrorizing the Bengals offensive line. Good in some ways, bad in others.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up who they have on the depth chart at offensive line. They still have Orlando Brown there at left tackle, which he really hasn't been what I thought he would be. But outside of that, it's Dylan Fairchild, who they drafted recently, Ted Karras at center, Dalton Reisner at right guard, and Amarius Mims at right tackle.
Yeah, there's some young talent there, but yeah, you are hoping to see a little bit more, especially with how injured Joe Burrow's been over the past couple of years. Excited to see what the Bengals could look like. We both said they're a playoff team this year. Titans play them. Is that the game right before the bye for the Titans?
Let me double check.
I know they play the Bengals and Browns back to back. I can't remember what order it is. Yes, so, Bengals November 1st, the last game before the bye
week. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So we will see them in November. Couple of odds and ends before we wrap up here. Another big running back contract signed today. Jonathan Taylor gets 2 years, $44 million from the Colts. So I would make the guess that Jahmyr Gibbs should be drying on that contract sooner rather than later. Now that Robinson and Taylor have gotten paid, Gibbs clearly the next guy in line.
Yeah, if you're Jahmyr Gibbs, you seeing that Bijan Robinson contract should make you a very happy man. It's crazy that with even the amount of guaranteed money that Bijan's getting, he's still second behind Jeremiah Love.
Jeremiah Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're Jahmyr Gibbs, my guess is that the Lions are going to one up, and he's going to be the highest paid running back in the NFL. So he should be a happy man.
Yes, Jahmyr Gibbs, it was a game of chicken with him and Bijan Robinson of who's going to sign their contract first, because the agent of the one who's waiting last is just going to say, give me a little bit more than that guy to make me the highest paid running back in NFL history. And so with Robinson signing it first, you're going to see the contract for Gibbs probably be slightly higher
than Bijan Robinson, although I would guess it wouldn't be too much higher than what, close to $25 million that Robinson got earlier this week?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But I was thinking about, with all the contract, because we've seen Darnell Wright, he's now the highest paid offensive tackle in NFL history as a right tackle, nonetheless. And Zay Flowers getting that extension with Baltimore. If you're, I think it's Justin Jefferson is tied with Zay Flowers for fourth most annual average per year. If you're Justin Jefferson, you're about to reset the wide receiver market. And plus, Puka Nacua is going to be eligible for an extension soon.
Yes, and with Puka, you do have the added intrigue of some of the off-the-field things that have gone on this offseason, and it seems like he's doing well now that he's back in camp. He's talked about it, that he's in a better spot, but that might be some of the reason there's been a delay with getting him that long-term extension that should put him right at, or at least around, the top of the wide receiver market.
No doubt. But I'm happy, you know, for Zay Flowers. It's certainly deserved, and I like the commitment that Baltimore has shown to the wide receiver position. That's been a neglected position there for, you know, a while, especially while Harbaugh was there. The fact that they got this deal done, they locked down Lamar Jackson's top target, and you know they brought in some guys through the draft too. So they're really trying to give Lamar as many weapons as possible so that eluded success in the postseason might eventually end up happening for him.
100%. We got a couple minutes left on the show. Practice is not wrapped up yet, so can't give you updates yet. Again, the timing is funny because it's usually practice ends within 10 minutes of us going off the air, so can't give you updates yet, but those should be coming out in the next 30 minutes or so from everybody out here at Titans training camp. Day 3 in pads, and again tomorrow Titans are out at the stadium for practice, and then you're gearing up. I believe, am I correct, they have one more practice here before heading out to Santa Clara next week, Parker, after the stadium?
Yeah, so after the stadium they have a practice on Sunday. I'll be there for that, and then they leave on Monday. Monday is their travel day.
Perfect. So we will have you covered for all the Titans training camp updates today. Once practice wraps up, make sure you check in with TD and Connor from what they saw today. We know our guest now coming up on Chasing Big Joe, and I'm excited about this, Parker. Let me see if you can guess it. It's kind of off the wall, but it's a lot of fun.
So it's off the wall. Are you allowed to reveal it now?
Yeah, okay. We can tell you who's going to come.
Okay, off the wall. Narrow it down for me. What side of the ball is it on?
Special teams.
Morgan Cox.
No. Tommy Townsend.
Oh, that dude's got a boot.
Two-time Super Bowl champion punter will join us. And maybe a little bit of a sore subject, but former Tennessee Volunteer finished his career at Florida. So we will talk to Tommy Townsend coming up at some point during the Chasing Big Joe show. Excited for that. Make sure you stay tuned right here tomorrow. Again, couldn't have TD today. He's got work to do down here at practice. But with the scrimmage tomorrow being in the evening, he's going to join us tomorrow for the full show live in studio, 9 a.m. It is a Freaky Friday with Teron Davenport. So excited for that. Keep it right here. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.